The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Everybody, we're back. Our guest this morning is Keith Lockwood with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. But we had a caller last hour that wanted to keep on the line. Tom was talking about an incident that he found, and then we got a call from Bill. So, Keith, hang on the line there. We'll be with you in just a second. Tom, good morning. What you were talking about, you found some ducks somewhere out along Route 40 that looked like they'd been killed by a pack of animals. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, sir. It happened about 2 years ago.
Oh.
And look what the ducks had come up for. It was it's called Lee Foundation.
Okay.
And there was you could see the dead ducks.
Right.
In a trail. But in the middle of the parking lot, it's like something had surrounded them.
Mm-hmm.
And just ripped their heads off, ripped the guts out, ripped their hindquarters out, you know, around the tail.
Yeah, these are ducks now.
Mallards.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I know
right.
Mallards.
Yeah, okay. All right. I got it.
Do you have any thoughts on what do dogs?
Dogs could do it. Probably fox, coyote would do something like that. We're not anywhere in bobcat range or anywhere like that. I mean, I don't know that there would be a pack of feral cats that would do that to ducks. I mean, they could a whole giant pack of feral cats up in Havre de Grace. You know, they interact with wildlife up there all the time, but I can't lay my finger on what would kill that many at one time.
Now, do ducks at one season or another lose their ability to fly?
Yes, they do in the summertime.
But this is winter.
Now, then they should have been able to escape. So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It is.
It was gruesome.
I'm sure.
It haunts me even today.
Mm.
But thank you, Alan.
I'm sorry, buddy. Did you take any photos or anything?
No, I didn't have my cell phone.
I got you. Yep. Well, okay, buddy. Well, I appreciate you weighing in on that. We'll keep our eye on it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Tom. Thank you. Bye-bye. And we want to talk to Bill in Owings Mills. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hi, Mr. Ellis. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What's up?
I like your show.
Well, thank you.
And I want to say, give me an update on the anti-poaching thing, because I totally support that. I think that's the fantastic, that's the greatest idea I've heard in a long time.
Well, it's mandatory penalties for whitetail and sika deer. It's the for the bucks, it's based on the Boone and Crockett scoring system, which is a record-keeping organization of note here, worldwide recognition. And it's the fines range from $1,000 to $5,000 for deer under 150 inches, and the deer that score over 150 inches, the fines go up to $10,000 or even sometimes $20,000, depending on the scenario. But they're mandatory fines. The court system, the justice system, doesn't care for it because they don't like mandatory penalties. But
I think your law is a great idea. Maybe for shooting on somebody's property, I hope it includes some time in prison.
Well, it doesn't. There are statutes out there for that to happen, but one of the things that it does is also any monies that are realized from the imposition of these restitution payments under the proposed act get credited to DNR's State Wildlife Management and Protection Fund for use in wildlife management and enforcement. So it doesn't go to the general fund.
I hope their vehicles and their guns and everything are confiscated.
Well, the department claims that they have a database of all those things and has a distribution system in place. But when we did our investigation, we went to the Department of Legislative Services and said, Hey, what's the story on the distribution of these assets? How do we find out what happens to them? And
You know something? You get caught on somebody's property or wherever poaching, you deserve what you get.
Well, and, sure, I agree with that.
You know, and the other thing is, you know that piece you played with a woman about the deer crossing?
Yeah, that's
that was hilarious.
Oh, I know.
You want to know something? It's also very sad because you got a lot of people out there like that that are just dirt stupid.
Hey, stupid
that's
is
the future of America. I'm sorry to say.
Stupid is as stupid does.
You got that right.
We've seen it online this week. All right, brother. Got to go. Thanks, Bill.
Keep up the good work.
Hey, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks. Bye-bye. There goes Bill. Keith in, where are you calling from? Keith, Eastern Shore?
I am, Alan, yes.
How are you doing? Sorry to surprise you there, but you're up. Keith Lockwood, Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. And, Keith, you've been with the department a number of years, and you've been with us a few times. Familiarize any new listeners with your position and what you do at the department.
Well, since, when I first came to the department, I was doing catch and release research. We worked for federal grants and, of course, did things like circle hooks and hooking studies, because we sort of knew when the striped bass moratorium was over that people might be catching more than what they could keep, and so we looked into a lot of catch and release. And
you and buddy Rudy Lukakovic.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Rudy took it on when I started to do other things. Rudy took it in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, with the hickory shed catch and release fishery and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, since 2003, I've been writing the fishing report and taking care of state records and the fishing challenge and a lot of other things like that.
Sure, sure. Well, you're here to talk about fishing opportunities here in the today or the near future. So,
yeah, fishing. It's starting.
Yeah, I hear it's starting. I hear it's starting. So,
well, of course.
we get a little warm weather. People want to get out and they want to get moving. If I wanted to go fishing today, Keith, I mean, I know it's cold, but where would you send me?
Most of our impoundments in the central, southern, and eastern region, the water's open.
Right.
And crappie is a favorite target this time of the year. Around deep structure. A lot of guys use a very small bobber with a small, little tube lure. Everybody's got their little favorites.
Sure.
You might suspend below that bobber and you'll work it really slow.
Right.
Largemouth bass are starting to feel the urge, and they're, of course, they're holding deep structure.
Mm-hmm.
Variety of, things. But whatever you do, it's got to be small, slow, and close to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, spring means yellow perch.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And it's actually started in a few places. The yellow perch aren't quite up into their spawning reaches yet, but they're staging farther down in deep holes and such, and they're basically holding there, and they will bite. Same thing, you can use those small little jigs, and some guys like to tip them with a piece of, night crawler or something. And of course, you can't beat minnows. And again, it's slow and close to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
The water's still pretty cold.
Sure.
And they're just holding there. But, a few of the more famous places like Wason Corner, top of the Patuxent, Gray's Run, the Marshy Hope, and of course the lower Susquehanna, guys are catching yellow perch, and they're catching them, in most of the tributaries, the Chesapeake Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got their own little secret spot.
Sure. What's the famous area down in southern Maryland that people tend to like to fish for yellow perch? I mean, down there pretty far.
Well, you have the Wicomico River there off the Potomac.
Right.
Near Bushwood, and they call it Allen's Fresh.
Allen's Fresh. That's the place, yes. Allen's Fresh.
And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's something going on down there right now in the deeper holes.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be a bit I haven't gotten any intel from down there.
Right.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
So you don't need to overwhelm these fish with a 10-pound test and a 7-foot you know, medium heavy action rod. I would say your anything medium light, medium action, something with a nice fast tip on the rod, 6.5-7 foot rod, 6 pound test maybe maximum, because you are going to get snagged up if you're fishing on the bottom like that. You're going to catch some stumps and some stones and some branches and all that stuff, which is normal, and you're probably going to break off a time or two.
Oh yeah, yeah. There will be dues paid. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So
now, if you were Alan, if you were fishing in the lower Susquehanna, you'd need a little bit of heavier tackle,
right?
Because the fish are deep. They're down like 50 feet, and
right.
You know, you need like a 2 ounce sinker with two dropper loops. You know,
really?
Your favorite.
Is that the plan up there for the perch, huh?
That's generally the plan when they're down deep. And, of course, you got, you know, the current's moving, too.
Sure.
That's off of Perryville. And, yeah, you need some weight to get down there. And, you know, most guys use about a 2 ounce sinker and, you know, two dropper loops with either bait or small jigs, really small.
Sure. Sure. A little shad darts or something like that. So when can we...
Something like that.
Yeah, now, we got the yellow perch run first, and then that followed normally with some white perch. And at the beginning of the run is the prime time for the bigger female fish. Am I correct in that?
Generally speaking, yes. They can tolerate the colder water.
Okay.
And, you know, generally speaking, they can start to think about spawning when the water temperature hits about 45. But... really, here in Maryland, it's about 50 degrees is their 54 degrees is their optimum spawning temperature.
Okay.
And it only takes a few warm, sunny days to, you know, warm up those upper watersheds.
Sure.
And, you know, put them in the mood.
Mm-hmm. And
of course,
one of the prizes with catching the big female fish, and if, you know, you want to keep your limit, I mean, that's certainly fine, but... you know, the flesh is wonderful, but the roe is also pretty desirable. Is that right?
yeah, it does. When I was a little kid, one of the biggest prizes I could bring home in the spring was yellow perch. And my mother and my grandfather, they love that yellow perch roe.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I said, that was a real prize for me to bring home. You know, it was something I could really do good for my mom and my grandfather.
That's right.
They love that stuff.
Sure. I mean, it doesn't help the sustainability of the population to pull those big female spawners out too much. But you know what? I think the fishery can take some of that, can it?
It can, you know. And then I'll be honest with you. There's, you know, another option is some of these lower areas below the spawning reaches, you can catch them on the way out, too.
That's another good idea, yes. Same size fish,
you know,
just...
here, on, for instance, where I fish on the Tuckahoe, on the eastern shore here, which is a tributary to the Choctank.
Right.
It really is kind of hilarious that sometimes when I'm fishing a double-hooked bottom rig, I can catch a yellow perch on the way out and a white perch on the way in.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So... that makes sense. That makes sense. Yep. You catch them on the same rig, Keith? At the same time?
It's pretty hilarious when you got a yellow perch on the bottom hook and a white perch on the top.
Yeah, that is pretty hilarious. That's pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool. Now, you like the double dropper rig. I mean, as far as top and bottom, those wire rigs and that type of thing. Tell the listeners how to rig up. I mean, give them the simplest thing. I'm a simple kind of guy. Okay, if I got to tie a sinker on the bottom, I'm just going to tie a loop. I'm going to run it through the eye of a bass casting sinker and toss it out there. I'm going to come up the line about maybe a foot and a half, or maybe not quite that far, maybe 14, 15 inches, and I'm going to tie a surgeon's loop, and then I'm going to take a Snelled number 6 or whatever hook and put on there, or tie a leader. Tie, you know, loop to loop, and you know, put my twister tail or my little jig on there. Does that sound about where we're at?
That's about where we're at. It's not complicated.
No,
not at all.
Keep it simple. Occam's razor. We had that come up last hour. Occam's razor. The simplest thing is sometimes the easiest thing. So now I asked this question to our listeners a couple weeks ago. when you got the beginning of the perch run, you alluded to it. When do you use minnows, worms, grass shrimp, or is it just, you know, whatever they happen to like that day? Is there a particular bait you start out with? I mean, do you start out with in the early part, do you start out with minnows if you can get them, little bull minnows, or do you start out with night crawlers, or you take everything with you and throw the kitchen sink at them?
Well, for yellow perch, if, you know, the minnows go down in the mud in the winter. If I can, you know, catch some minnows in a minnow trap, that's my preferred bait.
Mm-hmm.
And
some of the shops have them too, you know.
So. What's that?
Some of the shops have them.
Yeah, oh, of course. Of course you can purchase.
Sure, sure.
And one of the things I like to do, and it works really well, is if, you know, you get some bull minnows that are too big. They're more in the line of what you'd use for flounder fishing.
Right.
I will fillet them, believe it or not.
Hey, you know what?
First, take a small fillet knife to fillet a bull minnow.
I would say that, yeah, you're talking scalpel size.
Scrap of that on the hook, whether you've got a little shad dart or a little tube lure, you put a scrap on that. It's amazing the difference that it'll make.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. Yeah, go ahead.
The white perch, of course, grass shrimp is a classic bait. But there's so many small ones. You can go through a thing of grass shrimp so fast.
Really?
And the same thing, my favorite for white perch is shad dart, because you will be casting and you will be catching them every cast, and they'll all be like 6 inches long.
Right.
And you're almost like ready to give up. And you take one more cast, and here comes a plug of 12 to 10 inch fish.
Right.
And, you know, they kind of come in waves. But I'll do the same thing. I'll put a scrap of minnow on that shad dart.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing the difference it makes.
That makes sense, actually. That really does. And I'm thinking,
and it stays on the hook. That's the most important thing. It stays on the hook.
Yes, it does. It does. And you know,
I can go through a lot of bait fast when the white perch, you know, for instance, up at Red Bridges on the chop tank.
Oh, they'll kill you. That's for sure. That's for sure. So. All right, so we've got the yellow perch on the way in. They spawn, the big fish spawn, the males are there, of course. And then when the spawn is taking place or pretty much done, you still got those little males that you just drive you crazy when you're fishing. And the females are headed back out. Now the white perch are coming in. And so, you know, it's a mixed bag. If you catch it just right, you're going to catch both of them. White's coming in, perch, yellow's going out. But something that I've gotten really to enjoy in the last few years is fishing for hickory shad on the run. And we have a few places around Maryland where the hickories are pretty abundant, both on the eastern shore and the western shore. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, will you help us out on some of the hickory shad?
Sure.
All right, let's do that. Let me tell the folks about Clyde's Sports Shop. And Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. And that, folks, is off of Beltway Exit number 9. And if you're just joining us, or if you just joined us this hour, early in the first hour we played the fishing report, which was likely left over from last fall. So we've got to talk to Clyde's to get their fishing report up to date. And, you know, there probably hasn't been anything happening in the fishing world since late last fall. So. You know, we'll tell them to update it. But that fishing hotline, if, you know, they do this week, it's going to be 247-FISH. But what I wanted to tell you about is their sale. It's called the Ready to Rock Sale, Friday, March 18th. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, about a month from yesterday, through Sunday, March 27th. It's a 10-day sale. Your pen reels are going to be on special. The new Warfare, 30 level wind at $89.95. That's a great-looking reel. I've seen this reel. I've handled this reel. From the folks at Penn, and that is the number one trolling reel that you're going to want to take a look at. They have trolling combos from the same price. It's a Penn 309, a Shakespeare rod, 6 foot rod with a roller tip and line for $89.95 and up. And the most popular trolling combo is $139.95. That's a Penn 330 GT2, an Andy line and rod and line, a 20 to 50 pound line for $139.95. Shakespeare's going to be on sale. Fluger's going to be on sale. All ugly stick rods are going to be on sale. And then we ask you to check out their selection of St. Croix fishing rods as well. That's Clyde's Ready to Rock sale. Fish and line at half price. Take your empty spools. So while you're sitting at home today watching something on TV, get your reels out, strip all the old line off of them, get them ready to go, and save on premium monofilament line at half price from only 1 cent per yard down at Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108, 242-6108. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Hear this week's top newsmakers and a panel of expert political analysis on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, Sundays at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade.
All right, we're with Keith Lockwood, Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. And Keith, we were talking about yellow perch and white perch, and we're on the cusp.
Hickory shad.
Yeah, now we want to talk about hickory shad. That's for sure. So, we have gizzard shad, which is what a lot of people consider trash fish. I mean, you know, they hook one, they have a nice little fight, and they go, oh crap, it's a hickory shad. And then we have the white shad or American shad, which is just a tremendous battle. Bigger fish, 4 or 5 pound fish, something like that. And that gives you quite a tussle. But the little underrated and, kind of overlooked fish here in Maryland is, well, to some people, is the hickory shad. It's a catch and release fish. But tell us a little bit about the hickory shad.
Well, we have the Fishery Service has been working really hard with the Fish Restoration Group to bring these fish back to Maryland, along with the blueback and the alewife herring and the American shad.
Right.
And the hickory shad has been very successful.
Yes.
And
it has provided a really fun catch-and-release fishery for those that, you know, finally want to try and catch something on that fly rod they bought last year.
Right.
And haven't had much luck with.
Right.
Or ultralight spinning tackle, and it's just, it's a real fun thing. It's a festival for when they're running. Young kids and adults, they just have a ball, and they're like a miniature tarpon, you know. They fight like the Dickens. They jump out of the water. And it's also a good mindset that, you know, everybody realizes this is a catch-and-release fishery.
Right.
And, it's a lot of fun. But in some areas, one of the most famous areas we have is Deer Creek up on the Susquehanna.
Correct.
And Octorero Creek. And, you know, that fishery there is, just like the yellow perch and the white perch and the striped bass, it's very dependent on water temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And the Deer Creek can sometimes, for those who have to travel a distance, it can drive you crazy a lot of times. You get there and it's that old story, you should have
been here yesterday. Yeah, been there.
Because
yeah.
What'll happen is if we get rain in the upper Susquehanna watershed or Deer Creek watershed, it'll drive the temperature down at the dam, you know, if they open the gates.
Right.
And then the same thing is if they close the gates, all of a sudden that Susquehanna will start to warm up very quickly, and they just hit Deer Creek like gangbusters.
Sure. Yeah.
Typically, the Deer Creek, Octorero Creek, Hickory Shed runs usually don't get started until about the last week of April.
Mm-hmm.
And it all depends on runoff and basically what's going on with our weather. Some of the other areas that are a little more stable are like the Choptank and the Tuckahoe. They're a little more stable because there's no dam involved, releasing all that cold water
from
the Conowingo Dam Pool. And they usually are there when people are fishing for white perch.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got a 15 inch or so fish it's trout size, let's say, you know, a decent trout size, but the fight that's involved is just absolutely incredible. And these are fish that they'll eat little tiny shad darts, even some of the bigger shad darts. They'll take a shad dart that you might be fishing for a big yellow perch, you know, but I like to tell anybody and everybody when they're fishing early on like this and you're not sure what size fish you're going to catch. If you're going to catch little male, yellow perch, or if you're going to catch small white perch, or if you're going to catch hickory shad, do the best you can to have the sharpest hook you have available, but bend that barb down, because you're going to catch a fish if you want to keep it. But if you don't want to catch that fish, bend that barb down. It makes it so much easier to release. It harms the fish less, and it gives you a more fun experience. And if you're catching, 20 or 30 hickory shad in a day, one or two that may potentially come off that, weren't hooked that well, no big deal. But it's just, to me, it's the probably the simplest thing you can do. Take a pair of needle nose pliers and pinch that barb down, on the hook, out near the point of the hook, and it's kinder and gentler on the fish, and makes it easier on the angler too. So that's just my two cents.
For the angler, it gets you back in the action faster.
It does. Yeah, you're not grabbing a fish and fighting it and all that stuff. You can, if you want to release the fish, you can grab the bend of the hook with your needle nose pliers and shake that fish off, and you're right back in the action. So it's a lot easier on the fish and on the angler as well. So, I mean, you never know. You can be fishing a dart for those hickory shad, and all of a sudden, bam, you got 11 inch white perch or, a 12 inch yellow perch on there. It's just, some of the areas are just that many fish. And I mean, it's just incredible. So.
Yeah, don't forget Mr. Line Size might be lurking out there somewhere too.
Mr. Pajama Perch, huh? Yeah.
No, I'm talking about chain pickerel,
Oh, line size. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Chain size, I guess we could call it.
Yeah, okay.
They're out there too, and they will hit a shad dart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now there's a treat if anybody's ever ever concentrated on chain pickerel. Okay, since you brought them up, where can we go for a nice chain pickerel? We had a new state record set on January 1st, 2015. Lee Hale caught an 8-pound chain pickerel in a pond in southern on the Lower Eastern Shore. And he had caught the fish either a year before or 2 years before and released it. He had clipped a tail fin on it, so he knew that he'd caught that fish before and released it, and caught that same fish again, and it turned into a new state record. So 8 pounds, I mean, that's a ginormous chain pickerel. But, you know, that's a good fight. Those fish get, you know, 2 feet long sometimes, and on light tackle, they're great. So give us a couple points for the chain pickerel, Keith.
Well, one good thing is that they're spread throughout the Chesapeake Bay watershed and all of our impoundments. I mean, everywhere from Deep Creek Lake all the way over to the Delaware border, state border. They tend to be very, you know, they're just everywhere. And they're in our tidal rivers. And, you know, for listeners on the Western Shore, you know, places like the Upper Magothie, the Severn, the Middle River, the Bush, they're in all of those upper ends of those tidal rivers. And, in regards to tackle, basically anything that moves through the water, chain pickerel are just incredibly aggressive.
Yes, they are.
They just and they love cold water.
Mm-hmm.
And when the grasses are down this time of the year, it really makes fishing for them a lot more accessible, I
sure.
guess you might say, because you're not getting fouled in the grass. Because they are an ambush predator, and once the grass sets in, that's where they like to hang out. They set up a basically like a, you know, an ambush area, and they just sit there.
Sure.
But you know. Some guys like to use spinners.
Yeah.
You know, treble hooks can be a real problem with chain pickerel because they tend to, anything they hit it with total abandon.
Yep.
And so, again, squashing the barbs down is really important. And even spinner baits, soft plastics.
Here would be my combo for pickerel this time of year. It would probably be a white or maybe a blue white and chartreuse quarter ounce or maybe even a half ounce spinner bait. That's a little heavy, but quarter ounce spinner bait, single hook, press the barb down, put some kind of a white trailer on it, and just, you know, cast around the where you would think a weed bed would be, because like you said, they're ambush predators. If you're going to use an inline spinner like a MEP spinner or something like that, take that treble hook off, replace it with a single hook, press the barb down, add a little twister, maybe a yellow twister, white twister, chartreuse twister or something like that, even some of the flake stuff, the clear with the glitter type of thing. And just toss it out there and, you know, give it an erratic retrieve through the water. And man, they're gonna like that. I grew up on chain pickerel. So, you know.
I did too, Alan.
Yep. Yep. Grew up on chain pickerel. And of course we used minnows back in the day and had a lot of fun. And, but you know, you mentioned Deep Creek Lake last year's hunting quarterly in the spring. It was a picture of me with a 24-inch chain pickerel that hit a musky bait a big northern pike spinner bait out in Deep Creek Lake, and we caught a number of pickerel that day. But you know, that wasn't the target species. We were after northern pike, but that 24-inch pickerel made a nice little battle too. So,
oh yeah.
So
and just one. This, of course, nothing's ever cast in concrete, but one little tip is usually around in the shallower waters, you'll find what they call hammer handles, you know, the
yep.
the 14, 16-inch chain pickerel. And if anyone's looking, you know, for the bigger ones, you go deeper.
Yeah.
And they're usually hanging out in deeper water, and you can use, you know, a crankbait or, when I was a kid, my favorite was a flatfish. And which you don't see much of that around anymore.
Man, no, a flatfish, good grief.
And again, you've got to either replace the hooks with single hooks or you know, squash the barbs down.
Sure.
I used to take a pair of side cutters and just, you know, snip off one or two.
Yeah, you can do that too.
The treble hook.
Sure. Yeah. You remember the flatfish that had the little wire thing, that little wire harness that went, and you had a treble hook on each side of that thing?
Yeah, they were like little appendages.
Oh, my gosh. You hook a fish on that, and you were an hour and a half getting the thing unhooked. And
yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Yep. Orange with black spots, man. I'm going back now a couple of years, you know, or red and white. So
every once in a while, I'll see something like that at a flea market or something, or a jitterbug, you know, or a crazy crawler, and it's like, oh, boy, that brings back some memories.
Oh, you're not kidding, man. You remember the Burke lures that were made out of soft plastic?
Are you talking about the first ones?
The flexible one. Yeah, those are the ones, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
First you have to catch the fishermen. So that's what the tackle manufacturers did. But I'll tell you that we had a friend back in Pennsylvania who would specialize in big, I mean, you know, 5-6 pound largemouth, farm pond largemouth bass. And his preferred technique was to go out in the dark of the night with a 6-inch solid jitterbug, black, painted black. And he'd toss that thing out and just reel it slowly. He said, I can hear it coming. He just said, I didn't see it, I could hear it. He said, if it would stop or I'd hear a splash, I'd set the hook, you know. Well, he heard a splash one night. He set the hook and missed the fish. And the next thing he knew was there was a 6-inch jitterbug stuck into his eyebrow. He wasn't a very happy camper at that point. I think that ended that technique for him.
I have dodged more than one surface popper type lure.
Oh my god! Yeah,
striped bass when they a skipping bug or something on a fly rod, and some type of popper on a spinning rod, and they hit it, they miss it, they hit it, they miss it, and you get so wound up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've dodged more than a few of those. You see it coming, you duck.
I was on the Susquehanna up in Pennsylvania with fishing out of a just a little John boat with a guy, and we were targeting smallmouth, and I used my little floating Rapal, a number 9 gold Rapal. That's my favorite smallmouth bait, and we watched this fish well over 20 inches long, running minnows up onto one of those little islands up there in the middle of Pennsylvania. And, I mean, this was a giant, giant smallmouth. And we got close, and I threw out, I missed the spot where I wanted to be, and I reeled in real fast. I threw out again, I missed the spot again, I reeled that thing in. About the third time I was reeling that little Rapal in, I got a hit. And I thought it was this big, giant fish, and I set the hook. And when I set the hook, I launched this 8-inch smallmouth bass about 10 feet up in the air beside the boat when I set the hook. Okay. That wasn't him.
I know. So, we all, you can't help it.
It's fishing. That's what makes it fun.
Fishing. It's like when you're deer hunting. If it doesn't make your heart bump, you ought to go play golf or something.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, indeed. Yeah, if you don't get that that buck fever thing, you better just quit. So, all right. We're going to take a break here in a minute. We just got an email from Tackle Box Tim. He said there's a great shad run, both white and hickory, in the Gunpowder River in April. So there you go. Another spot to take a look at. All right. Well, I want to talk about Clyde Sport Shop here for a minute. You know, I've been talking about their fishing sale coming out. That's Friday, March 18th through Sunday, March 27th, and all the specials that go with that. But Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer. If you're into shotgun shooting sports, you got some spring turkey, and you could think about getting the specialized Browning turkey gun if you want to order like the Browning pump, the BPS shotgun from Browning. That's a good one. Or one of the auto loaders. You could get one of those, too, and they do make some turkey models for sure. But, it's shooting sports season, too. You're getting ready to do the sporting clays, and you're getting ready to do the trap and the skeet. Well, there's the Sestori shotgun, which is absolutely great for those types of 725 Sestori for the shooting sports, and especially the sporting clays. It's an over and under. It's a beautiful firearm. Comes with 5 Invector DS choke tubes. It's got a ported barrel to cut down on the recoil, triple trigger system, The Vector Pro length enforcing cones and all that, the folks that participate in the shooting sports understand what that is. And if you, you know, you shoot that on the range, there's also a 725 field model available if you want to, you know, go in pursuit of upland birds and enjoy that too. So it's all from Browning, the Browning Satori 725, all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, your full-line Browning dealer. Stop by and check that out. Phone number there is 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Enjoy it at Clyde Sports Shop. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Your favorite talk radio station is now on your iPhone. Go to the App Store and download the new WCBM app. Listen to your favorite host or program. Stimulating talk, breaking news, now on your iPhone.
Basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my old parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of bass destruction.
All right, we're back with Keith Lockwood here with Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service, and got a little bit of an unusual email here from our buddy Frank. Keith, he wants to know about cigarette butts that are dropped in onto the ground and then leach into the bay, and if any noticeable effect on fish for the abundance of fishermen who smoke. Any thoughts on that? I know it's unusual. I said it was unusual. So.
Yeah, it's, as we all know, there, anybody that's been sitting at a traffic light and looks out the passenger side of a vehicle, it's a disturbing thing to see that, you know, people use our areas as a trash can.
They do.
In regards to fish, the only thing I can think of is this trout, you know, in the put and take areas.
Right.
They have a propensity to eat all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I'll never forget one day we caught a bunch of put-and-take trout, and I was dressing them out, and I said, I wonder what this trout was eating, and I opened it up, and of course there's a cigarette butt inside. But I don't think the trout died from smoking. I think he died.
No, probably not.
No, I think he died from...
You know, but it can cause blockage from their stomach to their intestines.
Right.
The same goes for, scraps of rubber worms and grubs and things, you know,
that's
those
true.
Plastic baits. They will eat those things.
Sure
and,
they will.
It can cause a blockage in their, in their digestive system, but it also, it keeps their, it's in their stomach and they think they've got food in there. And, of course, they're maybe not feeding as heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And it could eventually affect their health.
Okay.
But, it's sad that, I don't know. More than once, I've challenged somebody, and they're like, oh, it's just a little piece of trash.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I threw a beer can out the window.
Right.
Know?
Right. I get it.
Anyway, I was just going to say that people are just, the human race is amazing at rationalizing their behavior.
Well, sure. Yeah, I got it. Well, okay, that kind of answers that one. So we've got a few minutes here left, Keith. Where do we want to go? We talked about pickerel. We talked about yellow perch, white perch, and hickory shad, a little bit on the white shad, but and some crappies. So,
one thing I would like to tell you, Alan, and your listeners.
Yeah.
In regards to the yellow perch and such, if they were to go to the Maryland Fishing Report, if they look up in the upper right-hand corner, there's about five links, and one of them is a map index. And we have plotted all of the yellow perch locations around the state. The same goes for shad and hickory shad.
Okay.
It could be a very useful tool to some of the anglers out there that are thinking of trying this and don't quite know where to go.
So you go to the Department of Natural Resources website, DNR, and, I mean, you can Google Maryland DNR, of course, if you don't know how to get there. But you can go to the DNR website, you go to the fisheries page, and then you go to the fishing report link. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, just type in the Maryland, fishing report, and it'll take it right there.
Okay.
But
so,
we have a map index, and it also has all the trout fishing locations where the trout are stocked.
Right.
But there's a whole bunch of other stuff on there too.
And you can sign up. You can sign up for those daily stalking alerts if you're really into the trout, and stalk trout, put and take trout. You can sign up for those stalking reports. They're not going to tell you where they're going to stalk them and what day, but they're going to tell you the day they stalked them and where. You know, it's not a secret. You're not in a secret club that gets the inside intel, but you are in a
That's
club.
Correct. That's usually up about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
So you can get the report the day the trout are stocked.
Right. Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. I'm on that. I get that thing every day. And, like I brought it up this morning, yesterday's report was, mostly the Eastern Shore. And then, if they omit something or inadvertently leave something off, they'll go back and say, oh yeah, we forgot to put these three streams in Garrett County that we stalked yesterday too. So, it's all on there. It's a great tool for fishermen. There's a good interaction between the DNR website, like the fishing report, and the perch and trout areas that you talked about, and the shad areas, that map. Of course, it's just the locations. It's not necessarily what's happening that day. You got to watch the fishing report for that, correct?
Most of our traditional fisheries.
So,
trout fishery, that kind of stands by itself.
Oh, sure, yeah. But do you have any, are there any angler surveys on any of the things that we mentioned here earlier? The yellow perch, the white perch, the pickerel, the shad, any angler surveys out there that the people should be aware of?
Well, the only one I can think of is the Artificial Reef Program.
Right.
They're soliciting anglers that fish on some of their reefs to the Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
To, fill out a survey form of what they caught or what they didn't catch.
Right.
Because they're trying to evaluate these reefs. There's a lot of decisions to be made. And, if an area is more productive than another, that kind of helps, direct things.
Sure. I mean, we've got an article on Maryland Artificial Reef in the Hunting Quarterly. And, you can go right to the fisheries pages and hit reefs, and it'll take you right there. But they're putting these reef balls in at the Bill Burton Fishing Pier, and they're putting the material, rubble, and so forth, the Taylor's Island Artificial Reef Project. There's a number of projects around the state right now, and, everything is under the scrutiny of the governor's office right now when it comes to the budget. And we know that some of the fisheries programs have been reduced or even eliminated. And you're welcome to share that if you want. If not, that's fine too. But this administration is trying to make every department in the state leaner and meaner and more efficient. And we just got to keep our eye on some of these things. So One good thing about the Fisher Service is for 16-year-olds, if you're 16 and 16, you can get your very first fishing license for half price. You know, when a person turns 16 years of age, then they're required to buy a license. And this year they're offering, first-time fishing license buyers their basic license at half price. And that's a pretty good deal. That's pretty nice for families and people that have kids that just getting ready to go fishing, saving them a few bucks this year. So that's another program, and that's an automatic deal when somebody's 16 and buying their first fishing license online. The price is automatically cut in half. So that's a pretty nice deal, isn't it, Keith?
That's a very good deal.
Yep, very good deal. So number of items in the General Assembly that affects fisheries and fishermen and that type of thing. We'll keep our eye on some of those things as they progress. And there's even a bill in there, an administration bill, to cut some of the fisheries fees, license fees, and things like that. So we'll see what happens.
Yep, we'll just have to.
But in the meantime, let's just go fishing. So, yeah, let's.
That's it.
Yep, let's just.
All
your worries go right out the window, and absolutely, you know, nothing beats. I have a friend who goose hunted 3 days in a row, and he's my age, maybe a little older. He goose hunted 3 days in a row, and he wound up getting almost pneumonia out of it because he wore himself out. He has a new term now. He says, "Fresh air will kill you." So I don't know, if you want to get involved in fishing to that point or not. But you know, it's out. It's nice to get out there for a day and relax. And like you said, let your cares go off.
Well, even just a couple of hours after work, it's amazing what just sitting quietly and with your thoughts and the nature around you, what it can do to your mindset. Whether you catch any fish or not.
Exactly.
It's a good thing. It's a very good thing.
Yep.
Very good thing.
Yep. So, one thing we didn't talk about, and we got music. Nah, we're not going to even get into it. I was going to talk about eating these fish, but that'll be a trip for the next time, a topic for the next time you come back. We'll talk about, preparing these fish for the table. We touched on the roe a little bit, but I'll tell you what, yellow perch is one of the best fish you can eat. So,
I love them.
Yep, yellow perch, white perch.
They're like our walleye.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, that walleye fisher's coming on, too. So.